Social Club is the best.
Look for the stars, look for the roaming crowd, and I will not be there. Look for the roses, they love me, they did it, and I'm still a misfit.
Come together like 100 different strands. That's right. Wanna make God laugh, we'll just tell him your plans. Yeah.
That's right.
My life sorta like a Gucci sweater. That's right. My life like a Gucci sweater. That's right. My life sorta like a Gucci sweater.
Started rapping with my boys as a hobby. Driving to the mall, freestyling in the car seat. Homie, I never ever thought that I'd be here. Went from sitting all alone to a beach chair. Homie, what I love like trying to get
my life like a Gucci sweater. I guess it's because it's multicolored and faceted. If you pull a string, you ain't no telling what you would get, man. Hey, man, it's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, man. Bro, you know, we done ate good. Send back game, get ready to come on. Man, life is grand. I got a mic in my hand. I don't think I could have scripted this any better.
I'm loving it myself.
Yeah. Only thing would have been better had I had a mic in my hand watching the game and my homeboy by my side. We sitting in his man cave watching the 6th inch.
that would be awesome. Bro, that would be awesome.
You know, for the summer out, we got to get together, man, so we can cue it up. You know, a summer ain't a summer for me until to me and my boys together queuing up. Because
yes.
I don't remember if I told you, I did get another cow.
Yeah. Hey.
Because you remember the last time you came, that was the last pack from that old cow.
Yeah. Just the ground meat. We're not going to get into the steaks and the other cup, but just the ground meat from a fresh butchered cow.
It's the greatest thing.
Unbelievable. It's just one of the best hamburgers you ever put in your mouth.
Yeah, man.
Literally.
I gave MP came over, him and his wife, and they caught one, man, and I called him back. I was like, dude, what you think? He was like, dude, we were sitting there eating, and it was just like, it was like we didn't know what to say because it tasted so much different than anything we had ever eaten. I'm like, dude, I'm saying it's like eating a mini ground up steak. You know, if they ground up a steak, this is what it would taste like.
Yes, it's phenomenal.
It is just a completely different world for eating that fresh cow, man. And those burgers come out amazing. So the weekend, me and it was just me and the boys. Veronica was gone to a retreat. And so Saturday, I was like, I gave him pizza on Friday. I was like, man, what are we going to eat? Bruh, I had to go fry up some fresh burgers. And when I tell you, absolutely. And again, I mean, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go all the way in. I went and bought me a nice big bun, a poppy seeded bun. And fried some bacon to go on top of it. Had my lettuce, tomato. Had two kinds of cheeses. Yeah, I mean it was phenomenal, dog.
That's a good day to me. That's a good night right there.
It is, man. Was it last week? I guess for my birthday. Yeah, we went to Red Robin, and So when's the last time you've been to Red Robin, Big Drake?
Well, I had a bad experience at Red Robin,
did you?
I want to say, yeah, this was the one in Columbus, though.
Okay.
The one in Montgomery, it's always been great and delicious and always been fine. My partner and I, Case took us to Columbus, so we're like, hey, we might as well get something to eat while we're here. Went to Red Robin, and the place just kind of looked a little nastier.
Uh-huh.
I don't say nastier, but, you know, it just...
It didn't look up to par for a Red Robin.
Yeah, and the waitresses just looked sloppy. The manager, he doggone sure looked sloppy back there. So I ordered a burger, and I like mine with a little pink in it. And mine pretty much came out raw. My buddies was cooking. We ordered our burgers the same way. his came out perfect. Mine pretty much came out raw. And, you know, sometimes the Lord speak to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, my waitress was polite. I'm like, this is kind of raw. She looked at me and said, oh, my goodness. Yeah, let me take care of that for you. And, like, the Lord just tapped me on my shoulder and said, hey, don't even get nothing else. I said, you know what? Because she's like, I'm a redo it. I'm gonna make sure it gets done right, and we'll take it off your bill. And I mean, okay, it's gonna be free, but all of this went through my head in a matter of seconds. I'm like, okay, it's a free meal, but it's free anyway because
I ain't gonna pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I eat outside of Lee County, the sheriff's office always being burst, so it's free anyway.
Right.
You know what? Thanks, but no thanks. I'm just going to sit here and drink the rest of my water, and I'm good. And then the sloppy old manager, he got grease stains, and he probably 5'2", 450 pounds, and just shirt half tucked in, half tucked out. Now, when you receive raw food, in my past experiences, I haven't really received raw food before, but I think you and I were together one time when I got some wings that weren't quite done.
Well, we had them wings with them veins in it,
hey, I'm sorry, let me make it right, what can I do? He rolls his fat tail on out there, and he's like, I heard we cooked your burger wrong.
No, you didn't cook my burger wrong. My burger was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, sorry for the inconvenience. I mean, he probably was the one that cooked it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when people in the cooking industry, when they cook it and you send it back, they're talking to them.
Yeah.
And he was, so I heard we cooked your burger wrong. I said, yeah, but I'm fine. We can do it again if you want to. I said, no, thank you, I'm fine. Oh, okay, all right. He just walked off.
No, you know, I just want to apologize again then. I hope it doesn't inconvenience you. No, what could I do? Yeah, like you said, what could I do to make that better? You know, nothing.
Mm-mm. And see if all the syntax burger. I mean, you hate to judge people just on outer appearances, but I just felt. I didn't. Yeah, he'd have done something to it. I really believe that. Then his attitude, just in talking to him, I mean, I really felt he'd have did something to it.
Yeah, you would have did a spit burger or something. He would have did something nasty because he nasty already. Yeah, he would be something nasty.
I'd have been eating his babies.
Yeah, rubbing under his armpits or something on his. Yeah, that'd been the.
Yeah.
Good call, Drake. Good calls.
Hey, Jesus is real.
He is. what I noticed the last when we went, like I said, a couple weeks ago, so they always have the marvelous garlic parmesan fries, bottomless.
Yes.
Right?
Well, yes.
Did you know that they have now six or seven different dipping sauces now for your fries as well?
No, I did not.
I don't know if this is all of them, but mine here has six or seven different dipping sauces you can choose from for your fries. So one's like a Thai dipping sauce. One's like a spicy ketchup. They got several ones like a ranchy something spicy sauce. They have like six different sauces, brother, to also order for dipping your fries in addition to your ketchup.
Wow.
So when I see, and this is a shame, Big Drake, that when I see marvels of food, you're one of the first people to come to my mind.
Hey.
So if me and my wife together.
I think that's a compliment. Thank
I immediately
you.
Think, ooh, I wonder does Big Drake know about this?
Hey, we connected on another level.
That's it. That's the first thing going to my mind. You know, if my wife isn't available, I'd be like, man, I wish Veronica was here to enjoy this. Man, I can't wait to tell Drake about this one, though. But yeah, so the dipping sauces were phenomenal. But again, my go-to meal since I found it there is that California chicken sandwich.
Okay.
It is phenomenal. It's a grilled chicken breast. On the bun, lettuce, tomatoes, bacon, and some guacamole on it.
I'm a big fan of guacamole.
I am a big fan of guacamole too. I was not until I start making my own. And once I start making my own, that kind of opened up the floodgates for me with guacamole. I don't know about you. I like guacamole like that I made. I like chunky guacamole. I like guacamole with, you know, onions, tomatoes, and chunks of it. I don't like that guacamole because someplace you go, that guacamole is just literally, to me, a little bit of seasoning, cilantro and stuff, and the avocado. I like chunks in mine.
I like them both ways because I've had yours, which is phenomenal, and then I've had it on the smooth side, and I guess they just used the right mixtures and seasonings, and it was phenomenal.
Okay,
and I've had some chunky dip. Why did I just go retarded? Guacamole. guacamole. And I guess the person, and it was homemade, I guess the person put too much onions in it.
Okay.
And, it just wasn't equal balance. And, of course, I've had it smooth. Like, all they did was just take an avocado and just mash it up and put it on here and say it was guacamole. You know what I mean? So I've had it good both ways, but I do want to go on the record that yours is phenomenal.
Yeah, I do like that fresh guac, man. And, like I said, I take a lot of effort to make sure to have, like you said, that right mixture, right amount of tomatoes, onions, a little bit of jalapenos, right amount of lime juice, the cilantro, and then, you know, a couple other secret seasonings thrown in. And I take my care on smashing up my avocado. I mean, since I started learning how to make it myself, I love guacamole. And it's crazy because up to, like, say, like a year ago, I had never eaten guacamole.
Wow.
And now it's like, I don't have a meal unless I got some guac. I'll get it on, like I said, even with them burgers, the second time around for burgers, I had a cup of guacamole in the refrigerator. I went on through that bad boy on now.
Oh, man, you get a hamburger with some Swiss cheese or white American cheese, bacon, and a scoop of guacamole. Yes. Oh, dude, you just elevated yourself to a new level.
That is the exact burger I had on the second day.
I told you we connected on a different level.
I had the exact, that combination is what I put together. It was amazing, man. It was amazing.
Yes.
All right, big drink. So, NBA playoffs, we're going to get to the finals and what we think about the outcome of this, but I want to, you know, rewind a little bit to some of the games we didn't get to cover. You know, in particular, we talked about it, you know, it was great. It was a great playoffs, man. That first round with all those game sevens, it was, you know, some people have said it was probably one of the greatest first rounds in the history of the NBA playoffs. To where everybody except for the Charlotte Bobcats and the Heat, truly had tough competition every single round of the playoffs. I think it was some great games on there. They almost had the Pacers almost getting beat for the Hawks, and you know, even me openly questioned whether or not they was done. Period. And they came back to prove themselves in the second series and on in the finals, or tried to anyway in the Eastern Conference Finals. But that's the team that really sticks out for me, that Pacers squad, and Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, you know, was trying to push San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. I don't really know what OKC is missing. What do you think?
I think they'll forever be haunted by trading James away.
James Harden?
I really do.
So you think James Harden on that team would have been able to continue to coexist?
I do, man, because he was the sixth man. So, okay, like, everybody knows my feelings toward Westbrook.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people are huge fans of him. The Humidor and I were talking this past Sunday during the last game. He's a big fan because he was upset that Westbrook didn't make any All-NBA teams. And he was like, maybe Chris Paul was first, and he had more points and more steals than Chris Paul, and whoever was second, he had more this and more that than that person. He had more this and that than everybody. I'm like, yeah, but, I mean, your point guard shouldn't be leading in scoring. And, you know, his point was, well, which it is a valid point. Kevin Durant the last few years has led the league in scoring, so he's not taking any shots from Kevin Durant. You know, if Kevin Durant is still leading in scoring.
That's not
but
true.
Yeah,
Kevin can record it.
I get what you're saying, but, man, that dude's pretty doggone selfish.
He is.
Yeah. And so you have Westbrook, who is a great athlete. If he could just get the Chris Paul, I mean, he is who he is. He is who he is. Of course, you got Kevin Durant. You got Serge Ibaka, who is, he's good. I'm trying to think of who he's like.
He played phenomenal in the playoffs. Far better than he typically gives you. Because typically typically for me, if I relate it back to history, Serge Ibaka is a Horace Grant of the Bulls.
Okay, that's perfect. Yeah. I go with Horace. Yeah.
He's going to consistently be a presence. He's never going to take over a game, but he's going to give you that 10, 12, and 8, 10 rebounds. You're going to have to account for him in the game. You know what I'm saying?
He's not going to do nothing super spectacular, and he ain't going to do nothing super stupid that's going to cost you nothing.
Exactly.
He's just consistent.
He's consistent.
Ain't going to do nothing real, real great, and ain't going to do nothing stupid.
Right.
It's good. So, but, you know, okay, you have him, but he is, and it's perfect. He's like a Horace Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once the second team comes in, who are they counting on to score?
I don't know who they got on the second team.
Derek Fisher
decided to go coach basketball instead of play basketball.
Yeah, which was a smart idea for him.
It was.
So you got Derek Fisher. You got the dude from France. What's his name? Light skinned cat.
Born from France.
He black. Black dude.
Which one?
Oh, I can't think of his name. But you got that. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. You can't even think of his name right now. You got him who I think he's more of a defensive presence, I'm assuming.
Okay.
He had a couple threes. He played decent. Then you have Perkins, who I guess Perkins is technically a starter, but Perkins is straight defense.
You talking about Tabo Sufalofilis?
Yes.
Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, that dude.
That guy.
Yeah. Then you got the dude who looked like he was one of them slaves on Django Unchained, the black dude who had Reggie Jackson, yes. He smoked dope, I'm convinced. He smoked dope.
He smoked in large quantities.
he smoked pounds, keys of dope. And he had the one great game against Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
But we've named all those people. You know, James Harden was the guy who kind of made everything gel. So he comes in with the second group. You still got the Sofolosha dude, who's pretty much a defensive guy, but he can and will score if he's open. You got the you got Caron Butler. Mm-hmm. You got the dope smoker. So all of that kind of meshed well because they knew while Durant and Westbrook were resting, as push came to shove through running the offense wouldn't work. And they could just say, James, we need 6 points out your back-to-back-to-back right now. We need it. And he'd get it. That's gone. So what do they do? That's gone.
and that's what happened. You know,
no, what do they do?
They didn't have anybody else to compensate for that. You know?
So when they play a team that has a little bit of depth, like the Spurs, I mean, I really thought that series was going to be a whole lot tougher than what it was. I really did. But once the second group comes in, okay, you look at the Spurs, their second group comes in. I mean, you got Ginobili. Ginobili's not even starting. Now, considering last year's finals, Ginobili should have also put his mouth around the 38 barrel.
Yes.
he played so bad last series. It's not the last series, but
last year.
Championships. I mean, you would have thought he was on the tape. He was taking money. He played that bad. But you got him coming off the bench, and you got knocking. I'm watching the game. They're not showing him now. The big foreign dude, the big white cat, who Splitter. You got Splitter coming on. I mean, you know, Boris Diaw, he just got that old man game, but Boris Diaw is very productive.
Only person I've ever seen got fatter and better.
Yeah, yeah, like he got into the NBA and said, "I'm not gonna work out."
I'm gonna see how big I can get. I'm gonna see how big I can get. Yeah, 320. Yeah.
The humidor and I were talking about Boris because, I mean, it's like he has literally gotten fatty each year, and we just talked about how he looks like the UPS driver that you know, drive trucks all day and deliver packages and
eat snacks, kind of
wear his uniform a little sloppy, then come in the gym, run in a little late after work to get him a quick game in, and just score all the damn points. Like, who is this? I mean, he's still playing in his UPS pants. I mean, just get out there and just school everybody. Shoot it from the half court. You know, everything.
Like, I can go back to the house now.
Yeah. That's Boris Diaw.
He is, and he has the name to fit it. It's Boris. That's Boris. Oh, that's just Boris. Hey, ask him to play. You don't want Boris to play, man. I'm telling you, I'm sure. Don't let it fool you. You don't want Boris to play.
Yeah. Don't let him fool you, the UPS fan.
Don't let the brown uniform fool you. Brown don't do something for you.
Of course, he's an NBA player. I mean, I couldn't play him to stick my soul.
Yeah.
I mean, save my soul, but. I mean, he looks like he's in enough shape to technically be an NBA basketball player, which if you got to think, that's probably is pretty phenomenal shape. I mean, he's an NBA basketball player and productive, but, I mean, he got gray hair. Oh, dude, I just saw this. I mean, he is the king of the old man move.
Yeah.
He just took Rashard Lewis and just made him look stupid, like, just now. But anyway.
I must be time delayed because as you were saying that, I was watching it happen. So, yes.
Okay. It's like I'm gonna go to the league.
He didn't have fat, but he's still quick.
He can play. I mean, he can play. But he's like, I'm not listening to weights. I'm gonna run enough to make sure I can run during the game. I'm not doing no extra running.
I'll be in shape enough to not have to come out till I need to. But yeah. I ain't really doing no more than that.
Look at him. And of course, if you were to meet him in real life, of course, he's probably going to be. He's 6'8, 6'9. Dude is tall. So you know he's a tall dude.
Yeah.
But you just don't think NBA star.
No. You think NBA groupie. He's somebody's homeboy. You see him, you're like, hey, so which one of your homeboys play?
Yeah. Well, you know, I played with LeBron back in high school. Yeah. We just kind of, you know, we still boys. But,
San Antonio do have some weird-looking characters, though. I'm going to go on record on saying. Because, I mean, I never can get over watching Danny Green play and not wanting to say, why do they have a special ed player in the NBA? I mean, this dude has to be the most retarded-looking person ever. Every close-up, he got that big old lip hanging and his mouth open. Hang around way too many white boys sometimes. They say stuff that you never thought was a diss until they said it. And this white dude at work always called people, he's a mouth breather. What's a mouth breather? He's the dude that breathes with his mouth open all the time.
Yeah.
He is quick to call somebody a mouth breather. That's what he is. He's a mouth breather.
And now they're showing him on my TV, and it's like, dude, close your mouth, dog. Close your mouth.
Yeah.
I will give you a signing bonus if you just close your mouth.
But he be balling, dog.
But you know what? You're absolutely right. A person that opens their mouth and can't close it, they just give off this persona. Like, you got to be the stupidest person walking around here. You can't even close your mouth.
You cannot tell your brain to close your mouth.
You can't even close his mouth.
Oh, my God. So, if you have mouth breathers at work, you now have a term to curb. In your life, you probably didn't know what to call them. Mouth breathers. You didn't know that was a term. It is. Mouth breathers.
he looked like the Spurs special need player.
He does.
Yeah, he's a special. Dude can hoop, but he's special needs now. We gotta watch him now.
He looks like affirmative action. We had that. They made us take one retarded player. We picked him. Right? So, and he looked like the dude that they originally just paid to be the ball boy. And he got in one practice and started balling out. That's like, hey, the retarded dude can hoop.
I can't get it right.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. All right, so
Matt Bomber needs to kill himself. Why is Matt Bomber in the league?
Dude, because tall white guys that can shoot always got a spot on the roster.
I can't tell you the last time I seen him make a 3-point in the game.
Here it come. Yeah, there it go.
Yeah, that didn't count, though.
Okay. It didn't even count.
That didn't count. It was foul. I mean, it's just, okay. Listeners, you know, y'all know my heart. But if I ever walk across, if me and Chris Bosh ever come in contact, I'm going to murder him.
Chris Bosh deserves it.
I'm going to murder Chris Bosh. I'm not going to murder Mario Chalmers, but I'm going to beat him on the brink of death.
So, hold on.
He'll be wishing that he just died.
Yeah, Big Drake, hold on. So we started this talking about OKC. I do want to say this. What did piss me off was it was either game 5 or 6. When they down 2, and Russell Westbrook comes down and shoots 3 threes and misses all of them.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is he taking that to me is the epitome of what my issue is with him.
Yes.
Is that he does not accept that he is number 2.
No.
He refuses to accept that. He thinks he's one alpha there, one A and one B, and he is not.
He thinks he is Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James. Because, you know, when they get down, you know, they have to, hey, Michael, we need you to bring him back. Yeah. And, you know, Michael has full autonomy to go ahead on and do that. LeBron has full autonomy and Kobe. Dude, you're number 2.
That's it.
You remember Star Trek way back in the day when Jean-Luc Picard was the captain, and literally the other dude, they called him number 2?
Number 2? You are
number 2. That's Westbrook. Dude, you are number 2. But it's like he's so selfish in his mind. It's like, dude, you have it's the MVP of the entire league on your squad.
It doesn't
Not
matter.
You. The other dude is the MVP.
In his head, it's still, y'all just recognize him. I'm the real MVP.
Yeah, I believe that.
In his head, that's what he believes, man. So I don't know, unless he ever, the switch ever flips for him to embrace the role of number 2. And be everything that KD needs in support. You know what I'm saying? I think if he truly embraces that, they may be on to something. But I don't know that he will ever embrace that.
Now, I will agree that KD can't score all the points.
No.
But he can come pretty close because when Westbrook went out with his injuries, them cats were still winning.
That's right.
And that's when really Kevin Durant really took over. And people already noticed him. But, I mean, obviously this is his first time winning the MVP, so people really took heed to what he was doing.
Yeah.
So the dude can score. He can't do it by himself. Everybody needs some help. But they also need the right kind and type of help. Westbrook ain't the right kind of help for him.
Westbrook ain't help for him. Because in Westbrook's head, he's not the help. That's the problem. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The picture they just showed of Can't Get Right with his finger up is hilarious. But, yeah. Westbrook does not see himself as help. The help. Westbrook sees himself as, hey, if you can't get it, is I'm going to choose to let you get it this time, but I'm going to get it the next time down the court. So, I think, unfortunately for them, I think they did trade the wrong player.
Mm-hmm.
I think had they traded Westbrook, had you did a trade to Boston or something like that, can you imagine this?
I think if this team is on the court, we have a different team in the NBA Finals. If you got Kevin Durant, James Harden, and my man from Boston.
Rondo.
Rondo.
Yeah.
I think you have a different team playing in the NBA Finals.
Now, Rondo is one of the few people I've ever seen come under criticism for being a point guard and having too many assists.
That's right.
I ain't never heard no fool. Are you just trying to patch your stats up with? Dude, I'm a point guard. I don't need to score. I've never seen that. I've never in a million years ever seen a point guard get criticized for having too many assists.
But he is that one point guard that if he needs to take over, he has the ability to.
Yes. Yes.
He has the ability to. So, I'm like you. I've never seen somebody be criticized like that. All my listeners, y'all, excuse me. Good night, fellas. I still got daddy duty, so I had to get daddy good night in it. But so, all right, so OKC, I think, unfortunately for them, they're stuck. They are where they are.
Good night, guys.
So I think they're stuck where they are. And then so the other squad that was right there in it was the everybody in the playoffs had a great team. The Clippers, they did great. They overachieved. Well, I ain't going to say they overachieved. They had the talent to do it. I loved having Wich Calm there. But I think, unfortunately, having to face the Donald Sterling stuff in the midst of the playoffs, as much as they wanted to think that they didn't, I think it threw them so far off the game from having to daily answer all those questions. I don't think there was any way they could be focused enough to knock off anybody.
And man, when it was fresh, hot, and heavy, of course, that was the talk of the town. And I really believe, that there are very few opportunities where us as human beings and us as men are given the stage where we can reach a broad spectrum of people from different walks of life and influence them in a positive way. And, of course, Barbershop Talk, the main issue was should those guys have played that next game.
Yep.
And, they're professionals, they have a job to do, they're getting paid. I mean, there comes, in these opportunities are so few, especially on a large scale, and to have literally the nation watching you and see what you do, what you say, how you react. There comes a point, and this is my personal belief, you may feel different, everybody else may feel different, where you can make a statement, because everything can't be about money.
Yeah.
Everything can't be about a job. There's some wrong and right going on. Now, people are going to feel what they feel regardless. But if I have the opportunity, knowing I work for, let's say, just a straight up bigot and a racist. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody might have a slight, it's the good old boy system at my job, or how they feel about black people. But, we truly, truly, really don't know. But when it's confirmed that, in this is just my personal beliefs, Sterling looks at us as like slaves.
Yeah, that's his property.
Yeah, I mean that's his mentality, and in his mind, he's giving us a place to live so we can go out there and pick cotton.
Mm-hmm. You should be grateful.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm not saying don't, just blow your NBA career away. I'm not saying that at all. But that very next game, I couldn't have played. I couldn't have played. And wearing my jersey backwards or having the warm-up just plain red shirt over my... I mean, what did that do? What's a silent protest if nothing's heard?
You had an opportunity. I mean? Very few opportunities come to allow the world to see something's greater than just you.
Yes.
And that was one of those once in a lifetime opportunities to
show. Yeah, and I personally thought they just let it slip through the fingers.
And I understand their argument by the same token, this is something that they, as a child, has worked all of their lives to be in position for. We all dream of being gameful, NBA finals, taking the last shot, being Michael Jordan, emulating those things. I understand that. But again, these opportunities come few and far between in our lifetimes of being able to make a stand to say something's greater than just me. And even if you chose not to play the whole game, I would not have come out the first quarter. It would have had to be some detrimental to where, you know what, all the cameras rolling, this is the NBA playoffs, and we're going to make y'all wait for 15 minutes till this clock ticks off. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all second quarter. Because what's the rules on that? What do they do? What does the NBA do?
But, you know, at that point, who cares?
Yeah. But again, that puts you on that spot now that everybody has to take notice. Everybody.
Yes.
But I'm like you. I was kind of disappointed in what they decided to do. Because for me, I didn't even see it. I had to watch it on SportsCenter afterwards. I turned to the game, but I ain't watched the start of the game. I ain't watched shoot around. I ain't watched warm-ups. You know? So yeah. I seen it after the fact. You know, and I turned to the game just to see, oh, did they play? What did they do? It ain't even been bigger for me. Play the whole game with your jersey on backwards or something. Play shirts and skins. I mean, seriously, you know what I'm saying? That I refuse to have this man's name on my body.
And you know, the other teams, I think it might have been maybe the Heat, maybe the Blazers, they said that if the Clippers had chose to sit out, they would have sat out as well.
Sat out too well.
This goes back to the civil rights when they had the boycott of the bus.
That's right.
You know how powerful that was? You know how powerful that could have been? If we're in the midst of the playoffs, where, like you stated earlier, probably the greatest playoffs we've had as far as first round, and we got three teams that just decided they're not going to play.
That's right. I'll give you even bigger than that. That was their 1968 Olympics?
Oh, yeah. What is this? The Track Stars.
Track Stars. That was their 68 Olympics, man. This only comes every so often, every other lifetime, man, that this opportunity comes. That was their 68 Olympics. That the world is watching. How will you respond? And like I said, unfortunately, they folded. You know what they did? You know, again, they did what they felt was best. But what influenced that decision? What was the justification behind what y'all chose to do? You know, in the back of your head, look at Fat Boy. You see a Fat Boy go coast to coast. So, and then me and Humor will talk Saturday at your game. And now on the flip side, what did we show the world based off of this Donald Sterling incident?
That money rules everything.
He paid $14 million for a team. He has been a lifelong racist, not hidden, not in the closet. He has been, I think they said he had over 20 lawsuits that have been settled out of court for his discriminatory practices in land as a realtor and real estate business dealings.
Well, Kingpin, this is what it is. And it slipped my mind because I meant to make the point, you know, because when we were taping regularly, it kind of happened like right after we taped the month ago.
That's right.
And this is what I told people, and I want to see if you agree with me. It's not what he said to most of the public that's troubling, because if you look at what he did with Elgin Baylor was his GM,
right,
making $200,000 a year, right, when everybody else in the league was making $5 million a year.
Right.
You had the thing with Baron Davis. He pretty much ended Baron Davis's career,
and was his intent.
Yes. Yeah. So you look at Elgin Baylor, good guy, nice guy, still Elgin Baylor, Hall of Fame as far as basketball, but Elgin Baylor. You look at Baron Davis, Baron Davis, Donald Rumsfeld, kind of a bad boy type guy. Mm-hmm. You know, bounced around a little bit. Once was an all-star, but kind of on the end of his career.
That's right.
It's not what he said, it's who he says about. Magic Johnson, and it's the Made Men Radio Show, we're going to keep it real.
That's right.
Magic Johnson is loved by white people.
Yes.
So you said something about Magic Johnson in Magic Johnson's time. That's not going to fly.
Nope. Nope.
Now, if he had said that about me, you, some other mediocre player, or some other famous person that just wasn't quite on Magic Johnson's level,
probably
it still would have been acceptable. Mm-hmm. It would have been okay. It wouldn't have been no big storm about it. But because white people love Magic Johnson, you got to think, this dude is a co-owner of a baseball team.
That's right. The L.A. Dodgers.
This is Showtime.
He is beloved.
Who? Yes, it is who he said it about. And once he said it about the beloved Magic Johnson in Los Angeles, that's why all the big stink came about.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I don't know.
If he would have said that about, what's the dude's name? James Jordan? Not James Jordan. Whatever, the center that's on the team.
Andre
Jordan. Jordan. Yeah, okay, if he would have said that about him, it would have been a little stink.
Yeah.
It would have been a little stink, you know, but it wouldn't have been to the magnitude as it was and as it is and as it's continuing to be.
Yeah.
Because who is DeAndre Jordan? Yeah, he's a good player. He's, you know, all right, but who is he? We're talking about Magic Johnson.
Yeah. This is the Mr. L.A.
It's sad that it has to take somebody
of that level.
Of that level to make it a stink, but that's just the reality of it, of what we live in this country, because, you know, I mean, if you look at the words he said, I got friends calling me and telling me to change. So you mean to tell me, yo, and what about the moral standards that we have in this world? Well, it's just acceptable for this married man to have a side chick, a girlfriend, or whatever you want to call it, and to be out in public where everybody else knows that that's old buddy's girlfriend.
Yeah, everybody know that's his side chick.
And you know what? I see old buddy girlfriend with certain, so let me call old boy. Hey, dude, she, and of course, these are white men.
She's out there with these black people.
Yeah.
No. They didn't say, his friends that called him didn't say she out there with these black people. You best, that's not what they said. You know your girl up there with these N-words.
Of course. Yeah. And you know, he made a valid point. Because he said, you don't understand the culture. Now, that just tends to let me believe that all these old white dudes that have a lot of money that own teams in the NBA, that's the way all of them feel.
Yeah.
You know, he got recorded. Now, true enough, was the girl, you know, setting him up a little bit, pushing his buttons? Yes, she was. I mean, you look at it on a comedy level, the recording is pretty funny.
She had some of the stuff he said. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she pushed the buttons. But let alone, these are his beliefs, and these are a lot of his friends' beliefs.
But you know what? You know the other thing that troubles me about this, Big Drake? So in this culture that he was talking about, why then, though, is it acceptable? You don't want your side piece bringing black people to the game, but it's acceptable that your side piece is black?
Well, I made this very same point to one of my coworkers at one time. He said something that was distasteful. And you know me, me and him had to talk about it. And he was like, I'm not racist, I'm not this, I'm not that. I'm like, well, dude, you can't be making comments like that. That's just unacceptable.
Right.
And he's like, well, dude, I'm not racist. I slept with black women before. And I'm like, slave owners slept with black women before.
It's true.
I mean, you sleeping with a black person, what does that mean to me?
That just means you enjoy the way the black person has sex.
Yeah, I mean, you know, slave owners slept with black women.
A lot of them.
Yeah, so
Thomas Jefferson has black children.
He kind of got my point once I said that.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, so it's the same thing.
Oh my God,
you know, she is an item to him.
Oh yeah,
that's my side chick. This is my dog piece.
Just like we said, like
yeah, she black, she Hispanic.
His name was.
Yeah, this is she do what I tell her to do.
So, well, he has decided that. So the $2 billion sale, he has decided that he's going to go ahead on and sue. And you know what? All this stuff that he's doing to me adds credence to the reports that came out that his family had declared him mentally incompetent, that he had been diagnosed with type level 2 Alzheimer's. Because it's almost as if every morning it wakes up and it changes. You don't know which Donald Sterling you're talking to yet. That's not from the racist standpoint, but from the what is he going to do? Because at first he said, I've not given her ability to make the deal. Then she keeps proceeding on, says, okay, well, yeah, we'll see what comes out. Then she gets the deal in place, and he's like, I haven't agreed to nothing. Then he comes back and said, it's a wrap, it's all done with. You know, we're on board. And then he comes back this morning and said, nope, the sale's not going and I'm still suing you. So it's like every other day, second or third day, you know, he wakes up and forgets where he is and decide. And then somebody said, hey, what are we doing about lawsuit? What lawsuit? The lawsuit of the NBA. Oh, I'm suing the NBA.
Oh, okay. Let's what did I say yesterday? Let's do the opposite.
Yeah, go forward. You know, so I'm starting to believe that he may be. But, I don't even know. I don't even know what I want the outcome to be of this. You know, I don't know that now after him going in and suing again. At first I was like, okay, cool. This man finna make a boatload of money, but that's all right. I'm sure the NBA is cool with that to get him over and done with. But the way it's going now, Big Drake, I would rather see the NBA, if he decided to go on and sue, the NBA proceed on with their governor's meeting. They vote to disband him and to remove him as owner, and the NBA take and sell the team. You know, and let these bids come back in lower than what they was. Because I think if the NBA sell it, I think they ain't gonna try to broker no $2 billion deal.
Yeah,
let the NBA sell it and let him get what's left. Because I want to minimize how much he comes up off of this whole deal as much as possible. Yeah. You know,
well, you know, the thing about this particular instance is, I mean, he owns the NBA basketball team.
He does.
And unfortunately, that's, I personally say, you know what, I can't give this guy my money. And I think you would have a few people, a few hundred people, maybe a few thousand people that say, you know what, I can't contribute to this. I can't give him my money. But as soon as your season tickets become available, there are literally thousands of people that want to give him their money because they want season tickets. So that's what I was really looking forward to the players themselves making a statement.
Yeah.
Because he's going to continue to make money.
Because, you know, from jersey sales. If I'm not coming to watch anybody on the floor.
Yes, I mean he's still, and I think, you know, making him sell or whatever, you know, how can you make me sell something that I own, even though I'm a part of this association? That's what it is. It's National Basketball Association,
right?
But I like just the lifetime ban. I love the fact that yes, you own this team. But I'm betting I catch you at not one game. I mean, that did it for me, because if he sells, he's gonna really come up. I mean, dude already got money, and you own a basketball team. You got plenty of money. You're not hurting for money.
Right.
If he doesn't sell, people are still gonna come to support the team, because in their mind, I'm not supporting this guy. I'm supporting Chris Paul or the Grit Blake. But yeah, old buddy's still getting all the money. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
he's still going to get profit. So whatever happens, I'm cool with that, because he is still going to come up some kind of way financially. But if I kind of would like it if nothing happened, just for the simple fact, I own a basketball team. I can't even go watch them play. You know how hard? I mean, come on.
My name is on the lease for this building, but you telling me I can't come in the building?
Yeah. That's like somebody telling you, Prince, you can't go home no more.
Yeah.
The mortgage still in your name. You still need to pay for it. Your family still going to live there, but I bet not catch you there.
I bet not catch you in there. he had a restraining order put on him.
Yes. I'm cool with that.
All right, man. So the Donald Stern thing is to be continued. There's a lot of stuff still gonna go on. We had the Lance Stevens issue, man, with the Indianapolis Pacers. I felt like people blew the Lance Stevens stuff way out of proportion. I felt like, you know, him blowing in LeBron's ear, smacking LeBron in the lips. Well, he ain't smacking, he just touched his lips. I think everything he was doing to LeBron, again, and they was all, this is not right for the game and all, blah, 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 every time the camera was on him, saying, bruh, did these people forget that Dennis Rodman was in this league? I watched the 30 for 30 series about the Detroit Pistons. Have you watched that one, Drake?
Oh, you know what Pistons fan. I didn't watch that 2-3 times.
Oh my God, have we forgot about the Bill Laimbeers and the John Salas and those cats? I mean, dude, the stuff that he was doing—you're talking about him blowing in LeBron's ear, and they keep playing out, and it's hilarious to watch. But we talk about how, oh, that's the integrity, and even Larry Bird came down and had a talk with him, and I expected Larry to do that because of how Larry played the game. But, mm-hmm. You know, they did all that, and I'm like, dude, Dennis Rodman grabbed Karl Malone's Peter, dog. Dennis Rodman on one series, tripped Karl Malone 3 times to the point that Karl fell all the way to the ground. I mean, it was all a tactic. Dennis knew he was not a superior athlete to Karl Malone. He knew, defensively, he could do what he could do, but Karl Malone was going to get his. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he's like, so combined with my physical abilities, if I can also capitalize on his mental insecurities or weaknesses, I may have a shot. And I think that's what Lance Stevens was doing. He's like, look,
I just put DJ Khaled and Rick Ross courtside.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Go ahead. He was, you know, he was doing that of, look, I can't stop LeBron. There's nobody in the planet can stop LeBron. But you know what I can do? I can mentally get him out of his game. I can mentally have him thinking whether or not I'm going to grab his booty again. I can mentally have him thinking about me when he's thinking about the next shot. And if I could do that, I might just have a chance. That's how I seen this whole incident, man.
Okay. this is what I see. Well, there are two things. For one, basketball has changed so much.
Yeah.
From the Bad Boys to now, and just watching that 30 for 30, you know, if somebody would have played that way now, they might be kicked out the league. They might get banned. I mean, it's just a different league, and different things are acceptable now. Two, Dennis Rodman was a great defensive player.
He was.
And Dennis Rodman has won Defensive Player of the League several times, the number one rebound in the league several times. So he did it to agitate Malone, but to me, I'm trying to see if I can express it in the words, it was different from what Stevenson was doing. Rodman did it knowing he was the best defender and that could play defense and would do little things to get him off his game, kind of like Bill Laimbeer would. Uh-huh. But to me, Lance Stevens saw that, kind of like what I always said a couple years ago when Arthur was in the national championship game against Oregon, there comes a time when you know the other team is better than you.
Yeah.
So what do you revert to? You revert to trickery. And this was him reverting to trickery. You look at Kawhi Leonard. LeBron is the best player there is in the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be good. He's going to score. Kawhi doesn't go out there and play his best defense as he can play. He go out there and hustle. In his mind, okay, I'm going to outwork you on this aspect. Yeah, I might not can't stop you from scoring, but I can out-rebound you. I can box you out. I can do this and make those aspects of my game frustrate you instead of reverting to trickery to trying to get you off your mind. Now, he may have helped that first game, but all it did was piss him off.
It did.
And once he got pissed off, and everybody knows in the world, you can't stop him. All they did was just spread the court out and let him go one-on-one.
And he destroyed
him. And we saw how that ended up.
He destroyed him.
Yeah. So, I mean, just in pickup games, I've played against people. You know, the last time I played in the league, we ended up going to the championship. The guy I played at Vanderbilt, and for 1 year, he led the SEC in rebounds. Naturally, he's a better basketball player than me.
Right.
But damn it, excuse me. I was banging him. I was boxing him out. I was making it tough on him. He wasn't getting no easy layups. I mean, I was playing ball. I didn't blow in his ear. I didn't touch him in his face. I didn't fondle him. I didn't whisper sweet nothings in his ear. I let him know. When you see me on you, you know it's going to be tough. And after the game, that's when you say, oh, man, you put it on me a couple times. Play hard. All this blowing and kissing. I mean, I really believe he did that foolishness and played himself out of some money.
I definitely think I would agree with you there. Because, again, this is what I did. I don't know if you've seen it. Did you see when they asked Paul George? So Paul George has asked if he wanted Lance Stevens back.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George's response was, I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not what you wanted to hear.
That's not good. Because considering this is the cat that they chose over Danny Grant.
No, yeah, Danny Grant.
Yeah, Danny Grant.
This is the max contract guy.
Yeah.
That you done went to battle with. That y'all were successful this year. You know what I'm saying? And his response was, I don't know. We'll see. You played yourself out some money there.
Because it took away from the game because you blowing in his ear, not as a foul or whatever they call, that's messing up the rhythm of the game. And just think about it. You in your zone. You trying your best. You Paul George. You playing. You doing your thing. And I do something, and that kind of, we got to stop for this. And we got to have, they got to go to the video for this. It kind of just messed up the rhythm of the team. But all you doing is pissing off the best player in the world.
I'll say this, though, in his defense, none of the stuff other than that elbow cross, that clothesline, that, again, I don't know if that was intentional or not. Other than the clothesline.
Of course it was.
You think it was?
Of course it was.
Okay. I just say, I ain't going to say it was. It looked very suspect given his track record, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But most of the stuff he did, it did not end in him getting called anything. It was just talked about because it was caught on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So the blowing in there, you know, he ain't get no calls. Even the touch on the lips, he ain't get no calls. But he pissed LeBron off. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said, for one game, it worked. Unfortunately, it was only one game. You know, had that been game seven, you know, that could have been a difference. But you know, again, I understand both sides. I just didn't think, I didn't care for all this. Oh, you're taking away the integrity of the game, blah, blah, blah. Because if anyone knows the history of the game of basketball, you're not going to sit here and tell me that this person's actions or what they taking to do takes away. This ain't like baseball. This ain't a cat taking steroids, taking away the integrity of the game. This ain't, you know, betting on the game. You know, Pete Rose taking away the integrity of the game. This ain't refs throwing the game, you know, or taking bets on the game. You know what I'm saying? These are things, these are a part of basketball, whether you like it or not, and it has been from the history of basketball in the NBA anyway. You've had players that, again, chose to, I go even back, you know, the Charles Oakleys, the Anthony Masons. This is all, there's always been this type of player in the league. And he's hated. That's their other thing. They like to be hated. They don't want friends. Lance Stevenson cool like that. He's like, man, I'm a baller. Hate me. Oh, well. Has it cost a lot of people overtime money? It's cost everybody money that's played this role. But they're cool with it. So I just didn't care for, to me, overblown as if, oh, my God, what are they doing? You know what I'm saying? I didn't like this. They blowed this more out of proportion than they did Michael Sam kissing another grown man on camera. Come on, bro. Let's be real.
That was horrible. We didn't even talk about that. That was horrible.
You talking? You got another grown man lip sucking another man on national TV, and y'all they this transforming the game, blah blah blah. But this man just blowed in the dude's ear, and you talking about this just take away the integrity of the game? Come on, bro. I to me sometimes I think, you know what I think? Now we talk about this all the time, Big Drake. Had that been one of the clean-cut white boys and not Mr. Showtime from the streets of New York, Lance Stevenson, a.k.a. this N-word, would it have been done? Would it have been blown out of proportion like that? This just another one of y'all buffoons being a buffoon. In they words, in they mind.
Yes, I can agree with that.
And that's Larry Bird coming and talking about you're not going to do this in the game because we the whitewash Pacers. You're not going to do this. But now if we want to be real honest, whitewash Pacers, if you ain't had this New York boy on this squad, y'all wouldn't be where y'all right now. Paul George a beast, but this boy helped carry the squad to get you where you were. That's all I'm saying. You know, don't come and tell me how it's destroying all this about the game, blah, blah. Go look at the history books. This has been done for years. You know, if you don't want that type of person, I can understand not wanting it. That's cool. That's your decision. You know, depending upon what your chemistry and what you want the team to be. That's your choice. But the boy still is a baller. You know.
I like the way he plays. I personally don't like all that extra stuff. You know, I think I've said this on the show. The one thing that can get me from zero to a million is the taunting and all that extra stuff. Let's just play. If I'm better than you, I'm better than you. You better than me, you better than me. I love a good hard match.
Yeah.
But all that extra stuff, that's going to piss me off. And because I think I talked about it on the show. I went to the rec. This is a pickup game. It wasn't a league game. It was a pickup game. It's after I had pulled my hamstring real bad, and I was just trying to get a run. And that game, I may have shot the ball one time. I was just passing because I was just getting a run. And my old buddy scored 3-4 points on me, and he just went to running his mile. And I told him, I said, dude, I'm just here to get a run. I'm not even trying to do all that. And he started taunting me, and he made a little 3-pointer in my face, and like, I got angry. And I didn't get angry as far as me doing anything to him.
Yeah.
I just told him, I said, okay, you really want me to play? I'm going to play. But just remember, you caused this. We went to 15. I scored 13 of those points. He had 0 points. And at the end, I told him, you caused that. And I left, got in my truck and I left. Because during the first game, you know, I mean, he wasn't, like, just talking to me, like, whispering stuff to me. I mean, he was, like, taunting me in front of everybody. And other people was like, hey, man, do this dude. I'm like, man, I ain't worried about him. But it got to the point where I'm like, okay, I mean, you just woke up a sleeping beast. And that's what, I mean, LeBron ain't never been sleeping, but when he started doing all that, see, when you're going against somebody that you know is better than you, I just really, she just revert to trickery. And that's all that is trickery. Now, Karl Malone was a better scorer.
Offensive player.
Yeah,
but Dennis was still
the Worm had that own defensive thing locked.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he couldn't defend him.
That's right.
But Steven, there was nothing he can do other than give him a BJ in front of everybody that would stop LeBron James from scoring. And he tried.
Too bad that blow didn't work. Didn't work, my brother. Didn't work. So, like I said, Lance, you're probably out of job based on what you did. But
I want to make one more comment when you brought up Michael Sam. did you notice the one key? Hey, But you know, out of all the other stuff, Michael Sam is still the black man. Yep. And the one key denominator we had.
Still going to go get a white person.
It was funny because you had, you know, cat from Florida State, they paying to his girl, bad white girl. Cat from California, paying over to his girl, badass white girl. Michael Stevens got him a little white boy.
It
came up.
Still have denominator, brother. All that money, you still go get your white girl.
That's when you become successful. That's what I told Erica. As soon as I come successful, so I'm gonna know I'll make it when I get me a good white woman.
Got to kick it to the career, baby.
Yeah, I'm coming up now. It's upgrade. Oh, dude. This is just. Has nothing to do with nothing but hanging out with my white friends across the street. And, of course, you know, they really don't know black lingo.
Okay.
And so this was a couple of weeks ago when Erica went to Michigan. So every Thursday, my neighbor has a church group that comes over. And this is just the realest church group I've ever been a part of.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because, you know, when you say church group, nobody wants to be themselves because, hey, these are my church members. I can't be who I really am because these cats, they drink, they cuss, they just being real. They ain't trying to be malicious. They just, hey, if I feel like saying damn it, I'm going to say damn it.
Okay.
So, I said, I know we got the Thursday night going on, but, you know, Erica's going to be out of town. I'm going to need something to do. So, Tuesday night, I'm just going to throw some burgers on the grill. And we'll just make that like a men's thing. Well, you know, all the men come over and we'll just kick it.
Okay.
We'll kick it and get it up. Now, if I say kick it and get it up, what does that mean to you?
We're going
to
hang out and smoke and drink, smoke cigars and drink.
Okay. Well, there's one guy, I think you met him, his name is Robert. That's the one with the big old fat juicy baby.
Yeah, I did.
Robert is real cool. Robert understood what I was saying. But, you know, as the night went on, he came to me and he said, I think you might want to tell them what you mean by get it up. What are you talking about? He's like, I'm telling you, they don't understand what you mean. They thinking something else. What the hell you think they thinking? He's like, well, you know, when white people say get it up, they're talking about like getting an erection. I'm like, dude. Do they think I want to invite them to my house to give you erections? I'm going to put some burgers on the grill and we're going to sit there and get erections.
Get it up.
And so I had to quickly clarify.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me. And I'm like, okay, when I say get it up, when I say kick it and get it up, that means just, like, have a good time. You might listen to some music, smoke some cigars, sip on a little something.
Right.
You know, play some cards. That's getting it up. Not in the literal sense of getting it up. I mean, but that's what they thought.
Oh,
and then
God.
So, this, I had to explain. This same group, we talked about the Michael Sam thing, and I said the same little joke that you and I just talked about. How, hey, you still got to give him a white person. And I said the same thing in front of him. Like, Boogie, when I come up and upgrade myself, give me a white woman. And they had no clue what I meant by come up. Like, what's a come up?
When I too at one time become successful,
I'm like, okay, a come up in the black language means a promotion.
Yeah. I become successful,
and of course the whiteness, which successful. I was 2 minutes long. Why not just say promotion? Because you can't say promotion in every aspect. Yeah, babe. When I leave you for a white woman, I'm gonna get a promotion. That doesn't fit there, jackass. You know. It's a come up.
Oh, boy. That is so funny. So there's this bit on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, where Special K comes on and breaks down African-American song. That is the funniest thing ever. Because that song he broke down, I was like, man, I didn't know what that song said.
That's funny.
Thank you, too, for my interpretation.
Now, there was one song that he did, I want to say last week. Did he do it Monday? It might have been Monday. I'm trying to think of who the rapper was. But I, too, didn't understand what the rapper was talking about, because it was one of those songs that it wasn't like mainstream. I mean, it was played on the radio, but it wasn't like had a catchy hook. Like, it was just like a club banger.
I think that was the one. It was last week, like Thursday or something.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Rolling a no Molly clue. And it talk about going to Hawaii or something else. Hawaii.
Yeah, that's it.
I didn't know.
I had no clue what he was talking about.
I'm glad you broke that down for me.
Yeah, no clue what he was talking about. Yeah, yeah. So that was funny. But you know, those are my white friends, and it's funny because even though they're open minded and they accept people for who they are and what they are, and I don't feel any of them are racist. I hadn't been over there. They made me feel some kind of way, because I think about a year or so ago I shared how we went to another neighbor
right
house, my wife and I, and nobody was talking to us but the guy who invited us, and then all of a sudden they know what I do for a living, and that came up one Thursday night, because even though we like to just joke and have a good time, we do talk about serious issues. And I told them, I said, one of the things that attracted my wife and I to this group is because not one time did anybody ever ask me what I did for a living before they started talking to me, or what college I went to, or if I played ball, or if I did something which you in your mind felt acceptable for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them about that experience, and I told them, I said, this is the difference between some white people and some black people. The guy's name is Brent. I said, Brent, you remember that time I invited you to play basketball with me? He said, yes. He said, man, I had a great time. I said, did anybody ever ask you what you did for a living, or how do you know me, or anything like that? No. I mean, they talked to me. They invited me back, which he did come back several times more. And I said, well, okay, well, this is the difference. You know, if I go somewhere, especially if I go with you, they're going to ask, well, how do I know you? What do I do for a living? And they're going to ask all these prerequisite?
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Prerequisite. Okay. All these questions to make sure I qualify to fit in their circle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he didn't. He's like, man, I didn't know people did that. And he's like, did I ever do that to you? I was like, no, I said that. Y'all know that's why we're here. And it's funny, I would say 6 months later, he invited me to go play basketball with some of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
He was a newcomer to this group himself. He said, I got invited. I only been maybe 3 times, but everybody's cool. They told me if I knew anybody, you know, you popped in my head naturally, so I'm inviting you. Well, of course, I mean, I had a good time. Nobody made me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
But you know how I am. I don't just go around telling people what I do for a living.
Right. Right.
And sometimes I try to find, maybe you can help me with this. Maybe the listeners can help me with this. Because sometimes when I say it, I know it comes off buttholish. And I'm not trying to be a butthole to people. And I'm not trying to act a certain way to people. But, you know, if I was an engineer, people would hear I'm an engineer and they'd be fine with it. But once they hear I'm a cop, a whole lot of things run through their mind.
That's right. Just like me. So that's why I don't tell people I'm a preacher.
Yes.
That's why I get a lot of negative connotations.
Yes. So I don't just like telling people I'm a cop. So what I tell people sometimes, like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I help people. And I'm not trying to come off buttholish, but I know sometimes when I say it, the way I deliver, I'm like, oh, that kind of sounded buttholish, but I want this person to know what I do for a living. I help people, which I do. I help people in jail. I help people in jail.
I provided a service to them. Maybe not the person that directly seen came into contact with me, but somebody felt like I provided a service.
Yeah. So, you know, on our way home, he told me, he said, Kwesi, this was the first time I experienced what you talked about. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you know, when I was sitting on the sideline and you were playing, I mean, they were asking me, well, how do you know him?
Yeah.
And like, he's my neighbor. I'm like, well, okay, well, what kind of work does he do? And he said, just because I remember that conversation that, you know, we had, purposely didn't tell them. I just said, he's just a good dude. That's my neighbor. Like, yeah, well, where do you work at? Yeah, he's just a good guy. My son thinks of him as a brother. He's like a family member.
He lives beside us.
Yeah, in his mind, because he, you know, his eyes were open. You know, people walk around here all day, every day with their eyes wide shut.
Yep, blinders on.
And it's just because they don't know.
That's right.
They don't know. And he got a chance to experience that. So that helped him kind of just understand. And he told me, he said he grew up in Arab, Alabama, where, you know, he was a teenager before he saw his first black person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know Arab very well.
And in his mind, you know, from what he was taught, I mean, he said he always didn't understand it, but of course he was brought up in a racist household.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he's different because he's a minister and all this and that. And he said, when I got my first black friend, he said, you know, he feels comfortable sharing this with me. And I just think it's funny. He said, well, how do I act around y'all? And the black friend was like, what you talking about? Like, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do.
I've never been around black people.
Yes, and his black friend probably told him some of the real stuff that's just real amongst blacks and whites. He said, this is what you do. When you're around black people, you be you. You tell them what's on your mind. You tell them what you feel. If you don't like something, you tell them. You like something, you tell them. Now, see, what white people tend to do is smile in each other's face and backstab them in the back and talk behind their back. In the black community, we don't do that. We just tell you how we feel and we move on. As long as you do that with black people, you'll be all
right. That's right.
and he said that was the best knowledge I ever got from anybody. It was just funny to me because, you know, the black guy was probably trying to be a little funny, yeah, but also still tell him something. Yeah. And he was like, that's true, you know. And this is his words. These are not my words. He said, you know, us white people, we'll smile on your face. And as soon as you turn your back, we talk about you.
Like I said, he showed up on the court. The first thing in the black folk mind, can you hoop? They're cool. We good. That's all I cared about. We showed up here to play basketball. Can you do that? If you can do that, you good with me. We showed up to work. I got a white co-worker. Can you do this job? Once I figure that out, you good with me.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing else I care about. I don't care who I was brought up, where you was raised on. I don't care about none of that. Can you do this job? I figure that out. We good, baby. Let's roll. If you care to share anything else later, that's fine. That just adds dimensions of you. But for right now.
And beyond basketball, as long as you're a good person, who cares what you do for a living? I mean, as long as you ain't out there killing, murdering people, you know, hit man.
Right.
You know, who cares what you do for a living? Who cares if you scoop poop for a living?
Be the best scooper.
Another demographic of people, that matters. Because to them, their job possibly defines who they are.
That's right. And their status in life.
Yes.
None of that means nothing to us.
Nope.
We grew up, you know, as a culture, we ain't never had nothing anyway. So we never were able to equate that to where you are.
Correct.
And who you was. It was all about just that. Who are you? You know, what type of character, what type of person are you? That's the only thing that ever mattered. Because monetarily and you know, from that standpoint, we never really had anything anyway. So it doesn't matter. All right, Big Drake, before we get off here, man, we got to go on early. It's game 3. Spurs got a 20-point lead at halftime. Who you picking for this series, Doc?
You know who I'm picking, dog.
You taking LBJ?
Same team. Come on, same team I picked last year.
You going with the Spurs again?
Yeah.
Okay. So you going to take
– I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to break it down.
You going to take the fat dude.
Yeah. Well, different from last year to this year is that they made some changes in the starting lineup, which I think is more conducive to them playing the Heat.
Okay.
Now, LeBron James had a phenomenal game last Sunday. And we've already discussed this 100 times on this show tonight that LeBron James is going to be LeBron James.
Can't do it. Can't do nothing.
And that particular Sunday, he helped them prevail. Mm-hmm. But we saw game one, he was cramping. And yes, the Heat went out. That's iffy. That's suspect. They probably did it on purpose. I mean, come on. I mean, you're an NBA franchise, and you're in the finals.
And your Heat,
come on, man. You would have a contingency backup plan for when the Heat go out of town? Come on, I'm not buying that.
The Heat went out.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. The Heat, I mean, I keep saying the Heat go out, but the air conditioning go out. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The air conditioning go out. I mean, come on. Whatever. But I feel that by Pop being the best coach in the NBA, that he's not going to make the same mistakes that he made last year. And it was like a learning curve for him. You know, even the best coach has to learn something.
That's right.
It's a learning curve, and he's made the proper adjustments. You could take a look at this game here. I mean, anything can happen. People can come back. But the Spurs are literally up by 25 points right now.
Yeah. They in it.
And Miami's at home.
Mm-hmm.
Ginobili is not going to play as bad as he played last game. Mm-hmm. Last NBA game. Finals. And considering how bad he played, the Spurs still had an opportunity to close it out in six.
And they just blew it.
Yeah. They didn't have Tim Duncan, who was 9 feet tall, on the court to get a rebound. They couldn't get a rebound. I mean, we're not going to relive the past again, because that was just upsetting to me. And, I mean, the Spurs isn't my team, but that's what I was going for. So I just think Dwayne Wade, I mean, he's driving a car with two flat tires. I just believe he's driving a car with two flat tires. Chalmers, he might give you 12 one day, and then he'll give you negative 2 the next day.
He definitely will.
What I don't understand, why they're not playing Shane Battier anymore. Because Shane Battier had an outstanding series in the finals last year.
Yeah.
As far as playing good defense and knocking down the open three. But we're also talking about Spoelstra. That's the head coach. So, yeah,
but to the flip side, Watch Column mm-hmm. has been as a born-again child, born-again virgin as well. Rashard Lewis.
But you know, he really hadn't played that much up until the finals.
I know
he hadn't been starting.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he just showed. Well, I think he's played a lot last series too.
But what makes you pick a guy who hadn't started all season?
Nope, and just automatically put him in the starting lineup.
And then all of a sudden, some final times, I'm gonna start you. Now, he's played well.
Spoelstra seen some in the matchups, thinking that he could compensate for those.
Also, I mean, he's played well, but he hadn't played.
He ain't been no superstar.
To me, he doesn't give you the defensive tenacity that Battier does.
I think they put him in to offset what Boris Diaw was given, but he cannot. He is not getting to the level of what Boris Diaw was given San Antonio.
Correct.
I agree. All right, so you taking the Spurs?
I'm taking the Spurs.
Okay, so before the series started, I thought either team coming out of the West was a bad matchup. I thought, just like I thought last year, the Spurs is too old to run with the Heat, and I thought the OKC was too light to run with the Heat. They don't have the girth to handle the pounding that the Heat can give you. In this series, unfortunately, I'm wondering, will we see what we've seen in game 5 and 6? And I tell you what gives me concern is uh-huh. the fact that game 2, uh-huh. they should have beat these boys. And you uh-huh. had your two seasoned superstars missed 4 straight free throws.
Yeah, they did.
You can't win a championship.
Yeah, they did.
Like that. You know, you can't beat these boys when, you know, one of your Achilles tendons, Achilles heel or whatever how they call it, Achilles tendon is your ability to run up and down the court with them. Well, to combat that, you got to make the free throws that you got to make get the points that you can standing still.
Yeah.
And you left 4 points standing still, and you got beat by two. So,
yeah.
That game two right there for me was kind of like, is this another time where we're going to see spurts of greatness from San Antonio throughout the series? Uh-huh. But in the end, they're not going to have what it takes to close them out when they gotta close them out. And topple that with, if LeBron can get, and Chris Bosh has been playing pretty daggone well right now. If they
can, he's played okay. He hit the three and he had an assist. Now he had 18 points total.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's dude. You know, last year we talked about this. If he had the same amount of points as rebounds as me and you did, and we sitting at home watching on TV, that's a problem.
For Chris Bosh, he has played well during this series.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
For Chris Bosh and what LeBron's used to getting from Chris, he's played well.
Yeah.
If they can get 10 to 15 and you got a guard of Dwayne Wade, I think LeBron brings home another one. Just sheerly, let me tell you, this is the other factor too, Big Drake. What game does LeBron cut it off and never cut it back off again?
Mm-hmm.
Can he get that this series? If LeBron could cut it on and never cut it off again in this series, I think the Heat win.
I think he's getting ready to cut it on the second half.
You think it's going to be the second half?
But I think he's getting ready to cut it on because they're down by so many points. And you know what? I don't know if energy-wise he can do it, but you notice whoever LeBron James sticks, they don't score.
No.
You know, the first couple of games, Paul George went off against the Pacers. LeBron went off, and that stopped.
That's it. That's it.
Sunday, Tony Parker really always goes off.
Yeah.
But that fourth quarter,
LeBron James
got on. He didn't score any more points.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with any team, everything is ran through the point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long physically he could do it, but if I'm Eric, I mean, we did what is considered the impossible. We went to San Antonio and won.
Mm-hmm.
All we got to do is win our home games and we won the championship.
We straight.
So, the second half, I'm putting LeBron James on Tony Parker.
And remember, Tony Parker came into this series not 100%. He set out the last two games in the OKC series.
And then Mario Chalmers elbowed him to the rib cage.
That's right.
He got spitting up blood.
I thought he twisted that ankle again. He was done.
Yeah. So I'm putting LeBron on him. And of course, it ain't no secret. Hey, LeBron, the whole team is about to get on your back. But he is the type of player, he's the physical specimen that can do it.
Yes. But again, I need to see the game where he turns it on and realize that for the rest of the series, it's on and ain't coming back off.
Yeah.
And I don't think they come back from this one. I think San Antonio cruises in this game. I think LeBron turns it on the next game.
The next game?
The next game.
Boom.
Game four, on. I think you see a different series, and I think you see Miami, you know, reel off two or three in a row to try to close them out.
I'm gonna disagree and say he's gonna turn it on the second half, just for the simple fact they're at home. If they were away, I would say yes, maybe cruise and then come home and turn it on. But I think just for the simple fact that they're at home, he has to turn it on.
He's fixing to try, and it's not gonna work the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like I said, Pop gonna game plan. What he tries to do is not gonna work the second half. Next game, they will not be able to stop him. There's no game plan they're going to have that stops him.
Yeah.
He'll drop 45 or 50 on the next game. And try to truly, because again, they always kind of have to get that wake-up call at the house to get their swagger back. And then that Indiana came home and took one. And after that, it was like, oh, you shouldn't have did that. They woke up,
yeah,
you know, in Miami. and then they went and dropped one in back in Indiana, and went on closed them out. So I think I'm a, even though I don't like to ride with them, but I think I'm gonna roll with the Heat. I will say this: I would be happy if the Spurs got them another one.
Well, you know, that's what we try to do on this show. We try to really give the dynamics of who we think is going to win, that's not right. Who we want to win.
That's right. That's right. I think Miami will win it, but I would like to see Tim Duncan and the Spurs get another one. I like their franchise. I like what they built, man. Well, Big Dre, like, we told the listeners we was going to give it to them. Y'all got 2.5 hours of straight.
We gave it to them.
We gave it to you, baby. We told you and we did it. My whole family sleep, except for my son, because I'm in his room next door and he been hearing my mouth the whole time. But, hey, we told you we was going to give it to you. That's what we did, man. Big Dre, man, any parting words for the fam, man?
Yes, this is what I want to share with everybody. And I talked about it earlier, about how the support that I've been getting from my friends and family, and how Kingpin just showed up out of the blue to support me. What I want people to try to do, I want them to look deeply at themselves and what we're experiencing in this world, especially when it comes to, I'm just going to use the word friendship. When we call ourselves friends, and the word friendship is used so loosely like the word love, mm-hmm. But when you truly love somebody and a true friend to them, sometimes, if we truly want to affect that person's life in a positive way and help somebody, like truly help, and when I say truly help, it can be the simplest things as far as, hey, my battery just died, can you give me a jump?
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people are thinking, well, that's not that big of a deal, I would do it. But how would you feel if it was 2 o'clock in the morning and that person called and needed a jump? What I have tried to instill in my life here recently in the past 2 months or so is that I'm going to try to walk and live my life as God has set his rules for. And when I say that, I'm just going to use the word friendship. If I'm going to be your friend, if I'm going to be a Christian person, a loving and caring person of you all, or of you, and I take you and you take me for the love and our faults, that even though it may inconvenience me for a moment, am I going to truly be a friend and help you when you need help? No matter if it's help on the spiritual level, if it's help just needing somebody to talk to, or if it's help physically me doing something for you. What we have going on in this world today is that people don't want to be inconvenienced. And when you are really a true friend to somebody, in their time of need, you may be inconvenienced.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a self-serving world, a self-gratifying world, and people are fair-weather friends. I only want to be your friend when it's convenient for me to be your friend. I only want to be your friend when it's fun. But true friendship, and when the person is going to need you the most, it's not going to be fun always. It may inconvenience you. You may lose a little sleep. You may have to work a little harder. You may have to work a little longer. But if we're going to call ourselves true friends, children of God, and we're going to try to do as God would want us to do. Now, hear me when I say this. God doesn't want fools. There's a thin line between being a friend and being a fool. I'm not telling everybody to go out there and be a fool. But I am saying that if you truly want to be someone's friend and you love them and you accept them and you take them for who they are, there's going to come a time where you're going to be inconvenienced. And I want you to take this charge and look at it, and when it's time for you to be put in the game, put me in the game, coach, I want you to answer that bell and step up. And no matter what it is, if it's something that you can do, not because it's something you don't want to do, not because it's something you don't feel like doing, but it's something that you can do, let's take that extra step and do it. Let's be that extra friend. Let's be a loving child of God.
That's a good word, brother. That's a good word, preacher. So, last month, our site VP, we had a safety stand down, and his challenge was, are you willing to be inconvenienced for safety? Meaning, if you go on the plant site and you realize you don't have the PPE, you're supposed to have the proper protection you're supposed to have, are you willing to go back to the office to get what you need? Are you willing to go around someplace to go to walk in a safer path to make sure you're not, you know, you don't put yourself in harm's way? Are you willing to step out to tell someone else to stop some you know, unsafe behavior and put yourself at risk to be able to make sure that everyone stays safe? Are you willing to be inconvenienced for safety? And I've, you know, it's funny that you said that, because that's been my message this month, is, are you willing to be inconvenienced for God? What are you willing to do? And I think it's hilarious that that's how God worked, that I've been talking about that this month, and then here you came and said right the same thing. But, you know, we have to ask ourselves that, are we willing to be inconvenienced? And are you truly a friend if you only do stuff when it's convenient for you? Is that true friendship? Or is that somebody that's in the right place at the right time? 'Cause for me, I'd much rather have people that are truly committed to us being connected than us being at the right place at the right time. Hey, I'm gonna end with this track off of what Big Drake. I changed the track while he was talking. And it's Israel's New Breed, I Am a Friend of God. If you are a friend of God, then you are a friend of people. And you understand that beyond everything else, the most important thing to God is serving his people. There's nothing more important than serving his people. And servanthood comes in many different capacities. You can serve me by not having to wait on me hand and foot or nothing like that, but being able to be there when I need you, even if I don't ask. Can you be there for me? Hey, man, it's the Made Men Radio Show. You're going to get laughs. You're going to get entertainment. You're going to get sports. You're going to be well informed. You're going to have a great time. And guess what? Your soul should be inspired by the time you finish as well. Because that's what we do, man. We are well-rounded fools. We do a little bit of it all. We went from juicy booties to being inconvenienced for God. That's what we do. Hey, that's what we do. We real on here. We don't sugarcoat. Oh, yeah. We ain't fake, baby. This all real right here.
And to piggyback off of everything, this has been my verse that I've been holding on to, and I've been using. By faith, he has made thee whole. Take that with you.
Man. Woo, I can preach on that. I ain't going to even do it. So... Hey, man, y'all, have a phenomenal week, man. Have a great weekend. We'll be back. We're going to try to be back at you Sunday. You'll hear it on Monday or so. But we're going to try to get – I can't commit to nothing. It's the summer, man. My kids out. We're doing the best we can. But I tell you what, we missed y'all just as much as y'all missed us. At least we hoped y'all missed us. So we may have missed you more. But but know that we are truly missed, man. But tell somebody about the show, man. Tell them, hey, they don't tape all the time, but when they do, it is absolutely off the chain.
It's a treat.
Yeah, it's a treat. So here's one episode, and you may get the next one in 3 weeks, but it'll be there, and it'll be funny once we do it, man. So pass the word, man. It's the Made Men Radio Show, man. And remember, some of the stuff changed, so it's mademenradio.net. And if you found this, that's how you found it. But hey, still, check us out, man. Tell somebody about it. Pass the word, man. Hey, I tell you what. Let's do this. You pray for me, and I guarantee you this. I'll definitely be praying for you. Hey, man, we love you, fam. Like I say, this is Israel New Breed. I'm a friend of God. I hope you are too, man. Hey, two fingers in the air. Deuces.
Peace.
I'm mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me?